Hello everyone, this is Mario Vergara and today we have a new kind of lesson. This lesson is what I like to call Advanced Guided Reading in English. In this lesson, we're going to read a book together, and as we read the book, I'm going to explain words, verbs, expressions, patterns, anything that I deem explainable and helpful for you and interesting for you guys is going to be explained. And as you can see, this lesson is going to be 100% in English, which means the lesson is a very good way for you to practice your listening skills in English, to do your input, as we like to call, in English. But I have to remind you guys that although the lesson is 100% in English, these kind of lessons should not be your only way to practice listening or input in English. You can use these lessons, as I was saying, as a way to practice your listening skills, but make sure you also use content that was made by native speakers to native speakers, such as YouTube videos, TV shows, podcasts, whatever. So do not use only these lessons as your only way to practice your listening skills in English. You got to do a mix of both. You got to do a mix of easier content, such as these lessons, with real content, let's put it that way, such as YouTube videos, podcasts, TV shows, whatever. So as I was saying, in this lesson, this new kind of lesson, we're going to read a book together. And the book we're going to read is called 1984 by George Orwell. It's a very famous and well-known book. And if you haven't read it yet, we're going to read it together in English. And as we read, as we go through the book, it's very important for me to tell you guys, and you got to remember that we are not concerned about how fast we read the book. We're not worried about how many lessons or how many hours is going to take us to finish the book. Our goal here is to learn as much as possible. And for that reason, we're going to go slow and steady. We're not trying to go fast. We're not trying to finish the book as soon as possible. Our goal, again, I'm going to say that again, is to learn as much as possible, which means we might stay a couple lessons in just one page. We might spend 15 minutes reading just one single paragraph. It doesn't matter because we're learning. And when we're trying to learn, a lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people try to go fast. A lot of people try to optimize their time. We're not trying to optimize anything here. We're trying just to sit down and slowly learn as deep as possible. And if we do that together, I assure you guys that you guys are going to learn a lot. So remember, slow and steady. And one more thing before we start the lesson, make sure you not only watch the lesson, but you also listen to the lesson. And by that I mean, you can watch the lesson once. Let's say, for instance, on a Monday, you watch the lesson, okay? So after watching the lesson, you can download the audio from the lesson and listen to it. So going back to the example I was giving you guys, on a Monday, you watch the lesson. Then Tuesday, you listen, just the audio. You listen to the audio from the lesson. Then Wednesday, you listen to the audio one more time. Then you do it again on Thursday and Friday and maybe Saturday. If you do that, you watch the lesson once and then you listen to the audio once a day for a couple days, 5 days, 7 days, 10 days max. If you do that, you're going to activate or engage in what we like to call deep learning. When you listen to the same content many, many times. You first watch it, you watch the lesson, then you just listen to it, listen again, and listen to it, you know, 5 times, 7 times, 10 times. As I was saying, when you listen to the audio many, many times, you're allowing your brain, you're letting your brain and giving time to your brain to absorb all the patterns, all the structures, all the new vocabulary present in that specific lesson. So make sure you do that. Make sure you spend enough time on each lesson so you learn deeply. And without further ado, let's start our first lesson. We're going to start, of course, on chapter 1, page 1. The first sentence of the book is, "It was a bright, cold day in April." So we know right off the bat that it was the month of April, and it was a bright, cold day. Let's take a look at this. A bright, cold day. I'm pretty sure you know what a cold day is. You know, it was day, it was not night, it was day. It was cold, and it was a bright, cold day. Now, what is a bright day? A bright day is a day with a lot of sunlight. It's a day where you can see the sky, the blue sky, you can see the sun, it's a sunny day, there's sunlight, it's a bright day. The opposite of a bright day, if you want to say the opposite, like a day without sunlight, is a gloomy day. A gloomy day is the opposite. A gloomy day is a day with almost no sunlight, or without any sunlight at all, right? A day where maybe it's cloudy, maybe it's rainy, you cannot see the sun, there's no sunlight. When there's no sunlight, we say that the day is gloomy or is a gloomy day, okay? But that is the opposite of a bright day. A bright day, a day with a sunny day, sunlight, blue sky, that's a bright day. So we know that right in the beginning of the book, that we were in the month of April. It was day, it wasn't night, and the day was cold and bright. It was a bright, cold day in April. And the clocks were striking 13. That's also a very interesting sentence. A clock, of course you know what a clock is. The clocks were striking 13. 13, the number 13, is telling us, is showing us the time, the hour of the day. So 13, it means 13 o'clock, right? 13 o'clock. Now, when we say 13 o'clock, we are using something called the 24 hour time notation, the 24 hour clock system. You know, we measure in the 24 hour time notation. It's a system. It's a way of measuring the hours of the day. When you use this system, the 24 hour time notation, we measure the time from like 0 to 24. So when we say 13 o'clock, it's the same thing as saying 1 p.m., right? It's the same thing. 13 o'clock is the same thing as 1 p.m. But when we say 1 p.m., we are using the 12-hour time notation. So in the 12-hour time notation, we measure time through the day from 1 to 12. So you have 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., until 12 a.m. Then you start again. 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m., and so on. This AM-PM system is called the 12-hour time notation. But we can also use the 24-hour time notation, where there's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, until like 12 o'clock, 13 o'clock. So we know if we use the 24-hour time notation, we can say, for example, 20 o'clock. 20 o'clock. 20 o'clock, it's the same as 8 p.m. It's a different system. This here, the 24-hour time notation system. You can also call it the 24-hour clock system. There's many different ways of naming the system, but it's just you got to know that it's the 24-hour way of measuring time through the day and the 12-hour way or notation or clock system where hours go from 0 to 12. Okay, I think you understand what I'm trying to explain. So we know, going back to the book, let's go back to the book. We know that it was the month of April. It was a bright, cold day, and the clocks were striking 13, meaning it was 13 o'clock or 1 p.m. But there's one more very interesting word here, which is the word striking. So you see the sentence, it says that the clocks, they were striking 13. Okay, that's part of the sentence. The clocks were striking 13. Now, striking comes, this word here, comes from the verb strike. The verb strike means to hit something or someone. If I strike you in the head, it means that I'm hitting you in the head. But, okay, so strike means hit. But if we're talking about clocks, if the clocks strike, so if we can say if a clock strikes, the meaning, if a clock strikes, it means the clock is making a sound to indicate the time or the hour. So when we say that a clock is striking, we mean that the clock is making a sound to tell us, to inform us about the time. So going back to the book one more time, it was a bright, cold day in April. It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. So the clocks, and we know it's many different clocks. It wasn't just one single clock, many clocks. They were making sounds showing us, indicating that the hour was 13 o'clock or 1 p.m. Then it's going to say, Winston Smith. So now we have a name here, a name of a character in the book. So Winston Smith, his chin nuzzled into his breast in an effort to escape the vile wind. So in this sentence here, as I was saying, we get to know our first character in this book. His name is Winston Smith. And we know that his chin, the chin is a part of your body, a part of your face below your mouth. If you don't know, you can Google that later, you know, and the chin. So his chin was nuzzled into his breast. Breast, it's another way, it's a different way of saying chest, okay? Chest, breast, same thing. But the interesting part here is that the chin, his chin, Winston Smith, chin was nuzzled into his breast, meaning his chin was touching, was almost buried into his chest, maybe because it was too cold. So when it's really cold, you kind of nuzzle your chin, you get really tight and your chin touches your breast in an effort, as the book is telling us, in an effort to escape the vile wind. Vile wind, the word vile, it means bad. It means extremely unpleasant. So it was not a pleasant and good wind. No, it was cold. It was bad. It was not pleasant. It was unpleasant wind. So we know it was April. It was a bright, cold day. Clocks were making a sound indicating the hour. It was 13 o'clock or 1 p.m. And we have this guy here, Winston Smith. He was making an effort to escape the wind. the wind was vile, meaning it was really unpleasant. And because of that, his chin was nuzzled into his breast, which means his chin was touching his chest in an effort to escape the bad, the unpleasant, the vile wind. Now, Winston Smith, he slipped quickly through the glass doors of Victory Mansions. So we have a place here called Victory Mansions. It's a place. We don't know exactly what kind of place is this, but it's a place called Victory Mansions. We know that this place has glass doors, so doors made of glass. And we know that Winston, our character, trying to escape the wind, the cold and vile wind, he slipped quickly through the glass doors of this place, of Victory Mansions. Now, notice this expression here. He slipped quickly through the glass doors. Now, we could have said, instead of he slipped quickly through the glass doors, a more common used sentence, it would be something like he, our character, Winston Smith, he entered through the glass doors, okay? This is like a common sentence. He entered through the doors, the glass doors. He went through the doors. But instead of saying he entered through the doors, in the book, the sentence is he slipped quickly through the glass doors. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference between he entered through the glass doors and he slipped through the glass doors? Now, the word slipped, it comes from the verb slip. Now, slip, like the usual meaning, is to slide, to, or even fall. So I could say, for example, the sentence, my foot slipped and I fell on the ground. So my foot slided and I fell on the ground. Okay, that's the regular meaning of the word slip. But the word slip, if you slip through a door, it doesn't mean to slide or to fall. If you slip through a door, it means that you go and you enter the door, you go through the door. We can say that you go through the, if you slip, through a door, it means you go through the door quickly. Quickly means fast, and quietly, trying to not draw attention, to trying to go unnoticed through the door. So that's the meaning of slip through a door. Not slip, not sleep, but slip. Slip through a door. It means you go quickly, smoothly, quietly through the door. So you can see here in the sentence, he slipped quickly through the glass doors. Why? Because he was trying to escape the vile and cold wind. So the wind was vile, it was cold, it was unpleasant. So maybe he was maybe kind of running, his chin nuzzled into his chest, into his breast. And instead of just going slowly through the door, instead of doing that, he quickly slipped through the door. He entered through the door, he passed through the door really fast, going into this place called Victory Mansions. Though not quickly enough to prevent a swirl of gritty dust from entering along with him. Now, this sentence here, let me highlight it for you guys. Though, the word though means despite the fact that, it means however in a certain way, right? So, however, he was able to slip quickly through the door. However, it wasn't quickly enough. It wasn't fast enough to prevent a swirl. A swirl to prevent a swirl of gritty dust from entering along with him. What is exactly a swirl of gritty dust? A swirl is a circle. It's a circle. And gritty, this word here, gritty, it comes from the word grit. Grit is a small piece of sand or stone. So grit means a small piece of sand or stone. So if we say that the dust is gritty, so gritty comes from grit, it means that the dust was filled or contained many small, really small pieces of sand and stone. And there's a swirl, like a circle of dust, and the dust contained small pieces of sand and stone. So what happened was that Winston, he slipped quickly through the doors, you know, trying to escape the vile wind, but it wasn't quick enough. It wasn't fast enough to prevent a swirl of gritty dust. So it was like a circle of dust with small pieces of stone and sand from entering along with him. Along with him is the same thing as saying entering with him, entering together with him. So he entered, he went through the doors quickly, but the dust went through the doors along with him or with him. So he wasn't able to prevent that. And that was the end of our first lesson. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to download the audio from this lesson, and I want you to listen to the audio at least once a day for at least 5 days. So as I was telling you in the beginning of the lesson, you've already watched the lesson. So, and you can watch the lesson if you want. If you want to watch a lesson twice or three times, you can do that. Feel free to watch the lesson as many times as you want, actually. But after you've watched the lesson, make sure you also do your listening practice. So make sure you download the audio from the lesson and then listen, as I was saying, listen to the audio once a day, just one time, just once a day, every day, for at least 5 days. You can do, if you want to do a little bit more, you can do 6 days or 7 days, but make sure you do your listening practice. Make sure you not only watch the lesson, but you also listen to the lesson. If you do it every day, if once a day you listen to the lesson and you do it for a week, for 5 to 7 days, I guarantee you, I assure you guys, that you're going to learn English in a very simple, effortless, and effective way. So I hope you all liked this new kind of lesson. And now it's time for you to get your listening practice going on. Thank you so much, and I see you all next lesson.